Well, good evening. I'm so glad to be present in class tonight. We're so thankful for our apostle, Apostle Leroy Thompson, Sr., who is the founder and president of Ever Increasing Word Training Center. I'm your instructor on the apostolic government, Dr. W. Ron Walker, and this class is Catching the Waves of Revival. Tonight, we're going to endeavor to go into chapter number 2, which is the characteristics of end time revival. Now, before I get too far into tonight's class, I want you to remember that next week is exam week. So here's how it goes. Much of the material that will be on the exam will be from the exams that you have. So I'm expecting all of you to do well on your exams. But I'm going to give you a word, a caution. Some of you think because you know a lot of Bible and you're spiritual, you can just pass these exams without studying. I've had many people end up with a flag. No, not the United States of America flag, but an F. Nobody in this class should make an F, not even a D, not even a C. There should be A's and B's, and more A's than B's. Apply yourself. Just don't come to the training center and act like you're going to float through this class on a flowery bed of ease. You need to give yourself to being a student of the word. So now, take that to heart. I'm expecting everybody to do well. Let's begin chapter number 2, Catching the Waves of Revival, Characteristics of End Time Revival. Number 1, spiritual timing is involved with end time revival. God's timing and God's time is precise in every spiritual outpouring. Timing is described in the Bible as kairos, a specific and an appointed time. Watch this phrase, in God. God moves on time, and spiritual timing is the key. Now, hold on. And spiritual timing is the key to spiritual harvest. Now, it is very important to understand spiritual timing. The book of Ecclesiastes say there's a time and a season for every purpose under heaven. You know, there's an appointed time. God has an appointed time when things will manifest. But we must understand in dealing with time, in God's time, he's always functioning in the now. So even though it may appear that something God promised you is not happening, that's a lie from the enemy. From the time that God spoke it, it came to pass in your life. So you have... In Galatians, you find that the Bible talks about Jesus when the fullness of time had come, or when the time of appointed of the Father had come. You find these type of phraseology in the Bible to indicate that God is the God of timing. It don't happen when you want. Let me put it another way. I was a little Kojic boy. We used to sing the hymn, "You Can't Hurry God. No, 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 you just have to wait. You have to trust him and give him time, no matter how long it takes. He's a God that you can't hurry. He'll be there. No, don't you worry. He may not come when you want him, but he's always right on time." Now, Dr. Walker, how can you tell us that? Did you ever read the story of Lazarus? Jesus said in St. John chapter 11, he told his disciples, his apostles that were with him, "Our friend Lazarus is sick, but this sickness is not unto death." Later on, Jesus comes back and say, "Our friend Lazarus sleepeth." And the disciples say, "Well, that's good. Lazarus is sleeping." Jesus say, "You don't understand. Lazarus is dead. He died. And I'm glad for your sake that I wasn't in Bethany so that you can understand who I am. The Bible goes on to say that Jesus stayed an extra day and then he traveled back towards Bethany where Lazarus had died. You know the story. Martha met him and said, Jesus, if you had been here, my brother Lazarus would not have died. Jesus, and I'm rephrasing this, said to Martha, do you know who I am? I am the resurrection. I am the life. I came here to wake your brother Lazarus out of that state. And you know, he said, Martha, do you believe this? And Martha deflected and said, we know who you are. I believe you the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said, that's not what I asked you. I asked you, can I wake Lazarus up out of sleep? Can I bring Lazarus back from death itself? Because I'm the resurrection. I'm the life. Well, they sent for Mary. Mary came to Jesus because Jesus called for her. And when Mary came, Mary was the one who took time to sit at his feet. Mary was the one who put a premium on the word. And when Mary came, she said the same thing. If you had been here, my brother Lazarus would not have died. But she did something that Martha didn't do. She fell down and she worshiped him. And Jesus said, time to get it on. You know the rest of the story. Jesus said, where did you lay him? They said, he's in a tomb with a stone rolled in front of it, and he's been in there for 4 days, and his body is now rotting and stinking and going back to the earth. I'm talking about spiritual timing. Jesus waited on purpose that one extra day because he knew that after the third day, that Lazarus' body would begin to rot and to deteriorate, and worms would begin to eat it. Jesus wanted to make sure they knew he was good and dead. And Jesus said, roll the stone away because the resurrection and the life is here. And you know the rest of the story. Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came out of that tomb. That's where they got the movie, The Mummy, from. Okay, just threw that out there so you can have a little fun. Don't get too serious. God is the God of spiritual timing. He has a time to manifest everything in your life. It's already done. What are you saying, Dr. Walker? In this journey of faith, God takes you to the end, show you how you're going to come out, then he puts you at start. All that's in spiritual timing. He wants you to see your end from the beginning. And you can understand it's going to end exactly how God said it would come out if you just follow instruction. Spiritual timing. Read. Number two, spiritual preparation. God cannot move unless man have prepared themselves in accordance to his word. The fire came from heaven after the prophet Elijah had built the altar according to God's word. The rain came after Noah had built the ark in accordance to God's word. The apostles prepared themselves before the day of Pentecost and according to prophetic revelation. They prepared themselves individually and corporately before the revival broke forth. Notice that over and over again. They prepared themselves in prayer with one accord and with unity and in establishing leadership structure among themselves according to God's divine purpose. Spiritual preparation is the key. There's a saying, proper planning prevents poor performance. If you plan properly, If you prepare properly, you'll never be caught off guard. Go ahead. Human responsibility is essential to revival. They is the key word, and it clearly defines the corporate responsibility and response before the revival came or comes. Number three, spiritual outbursts. Though the apostles were expecting the revival, they were still taken by complete and utter surprise. So suddenly and powerfully, God intervened in the spiritual destiny of his church. It happened so quickly and suddenly that people were caught unawares. The sudden divine shock tactic is to remind men of their vulnerability before an awesome God. Never forget those words. God does things suddenly, straightway, and immediately. He burst on the scene, it appears, at a time when you don't know he's going to show up. See, let me say something to you, children. We walk by faith and not by sight. But even though we walk by faith and not by sight, and we are trusting and expecting God to do things, watch this, that he promised, God only performs in our lives what he promises us. It's okay to read about what he did for Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and many other biblical characters. But in order for God to perform that in your life, he got to speak to you. See, faith is based upon a promise made. You don't even have a right to have faith in God if he never told you anything. The Bible says what God had promised, he's also able to perform. So God does not perform anything in our lives that he did not promise. It is up to us to get God to talk to us so we can have his word on it. And when we have his word on it, we can have great expectation because God cannot lie. God cannot fail. Read, child. The effect of the sudden working of the Holy Spirit is very striking in the conviction of the sinners and in the awakening of the saints. Number four, spiritual liberty. We're talking about characteristics of the end time revival. Spiritual liberty. The Holy Spirit, who fell from heaven, had full liberty to move and to direct the people as he chose. Now, that's a hold up. That's a good one there. Because, see, the Bible says that God is working all things according to his predeterminate counsel. Nothing is happening by happenstance. God is the God of spiritual timing, spiritual preparation. We got to know it's God who is at work in us, both to will and to do all of his good pleasure. Read that again. The Holy Spirit that fell from heaven had full liberty to move and to direct the people as he chose. Now, I had her to read that again because I wanted to bring back what the Lord was sharing with me. You know, we think we're sons and daughters of God because we are born of God. That's only one level. It's a shame that in the natural, a person is born a son, and so they think that qualifies them for sonship. Yes, I know the Bible says, behold, in 1 John 3:1, it talks about, behold, what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Called the sons of God. Well, here's a characteristic of the sons of God that you may not have been taught. You may be born into God's kingdom, and you are born into the kingdom. But to go to another level, the Holy Spirit must be involved. God made no announcement about who Jesus was until the day he was baptized of John the Baptist in the River Jordan. The Bible says, when Jesus came up out of the waters, lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And the Spirit of God descended in the form of a dove and remained upon him. And then a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. I know you don't see it right away, but you got to go to Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Your sonship is qualified when the Holy Spirit can now lead you, guide you, direct you. Oh, I know this ain't no new theology. It's the Bible. And Matthew 3, which flows over into Matthew 4, the first verse of Matthew 4 says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So now you understand that statement again. Make that statement again. The Holy Spirit fell from heaven, had full liberty to move and direct the people as he chose. See, Jesus' testimony is, you're looking at me, but it's my Father who's at work in me. It's my Father who's doing the work. Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Well, how was God with him? Right there in Acts 10:38. He was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. That's what enabled him to go about doing good. Jesus said, the works that you see me do, the Father show me. How was the Father showing him? It was the Holy Ghost. And so that same Holy Ghost in St. John chapter number 14, Jesus said, when I go to my Father, I'm going to send him back to you. Because when I go to my Father and he comes back to you, he's not coming to dwell with you. He's coming to dwell in you. So the works that I do shall you do also, because and greater works than this shall you do, because I go to my Father. Why am I going to my Father? So that the same Holy Spirit can get in you. Okay, keep reading, child. The Holy Spirit is allowed to move in any direction, and his spontaneous work spreads so quickly from one person to another. It seeks to fulfill God's eternal purpose by gathering spiritual momentum in the hearts of those who obey. Revival follows God's divine agenda by gathering spiritual momentum. And divine momentum will take you through the curve of the enemy. Divine momentum will take you through the curve of the enemy. You know why a car runs off the road? That curve is coming up there. And they're driving at a very high rate of speed. And they misjudge the fact that the momentum of the car can take you through the curve. That's what we're talking about. Divine momentum will take you through the curves that the enemy tried to put in your way. Go ahead. Number five, spiritual presence. In every revival, the manifested presence of God pricks and convicts the hearts of men. God is honored and God is held in holy respect. God consciousness fills the heart of men and creates an awareness of sin. Now, children, you have to go to Acts chapter 10 to see how this worked. Remember that same coward Peter who denied Jesus 3 times? You remember he told Jesus, I'm going with you all the way. I'm even in so deep with you that I'll die for you. Jesus said, Peter, before the cock crow thrice, you're going to deny me twice. And you know that came to pass. You know that came to pass. But Jesus didn't give up on him. Jesus knew he would be the chief apostle to the Jews. So on the day of Pentecost, that same Peter, who seemed like a coward and denied Jesus, he got full of the Holy Ghost. And he stood up to preach on the day of Pentecost. And because the Spirit of God so suddenly impacted his life, now spiritual impact is about to take place because of the spiritual. See, you can't impact until you've been impacted. The Holy Spirit impacted his life, and he began to preach on the day of Pentecost that these men are not drunk, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which is spoken of by the prophet Joel, that God said, in the last days, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. We're in the last days right now. The Spirit of God is being poured out right now. Signs, wonders, and miracles are being performed in our midst right now. Men's hearts are not going to be convicted. Men's heart are not going to yield to God's Spirit unless there's impact of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That's why on the day of Pentecost, these men heard Peter preach and they were convicted and pricked in their heart that they came and said these words, men and brethren, what must we do in order for us to be saved? That's what this end time revival we're in right now. That's the kind of action we're in right now. Brace yourself. It's not coming. Revival is here because Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr. is one of the catalysts of this end time revival. When God spoke to him concerning money cometh, he said money cometh would not end until Jesus returned. Fasten your seatbelts, unpack your bags, because we are not here to teach you to go to heaven. Apostolic ministry and government is bringing heaven to earth. This school of ministry is not designed to teach you to go to heaven. We are teaching you to bring heaven to the earth. Go ahead, child. God becomes visibly and audibly present among his people. Manifestation of true revival brings an overwhelming sense of God's presence that brings conviction of sin and salvation to unregenerate man and a transformation of lives. Number 6, spiritual vessels. God needs spiritual vessels for this end time revival. This is one of the characteristics of true revival. God takes over ordinary human lives to do extraordinary work in the community of men. God needs prepared vessels who he can, number one, anoint with his power, and number two, to help fulfill his purpose on this earth. God's strategy is to prepare that man to affect or to impact the whole world. Number 7, spiritual manifestation. The Holy Spirit will begin to allow the manifestation of his gifts and to allow power to break forth in our lives. The power of the Spirit is made manifested in any revival, in healing, signs, and wonders. Did you hear that? Revival is not getting together and nothing happened. Revival is not showing up and nothing happened. You don't need tracts and cards. You are a tract. You are a card when you allow God's sign, wonders, and miracles to work through you. Go ahead, child. Number 8, spiritual impact. There's no true revival if there's no visible manifestation in society. It results in spiritual growth, numerical growth, material growth, and growth in relationships. You see all of that in Apostle Leroy Thompson's life and the ministries that he oversees. His family, Word of Life Christian Center, Ever Increasing Word Ministries, Ever Increasing Word Training Center, and LTMA, where he's impacting ministers by lighting the torches of their ministries so we can carry this end time revival out around the world. Go ahead. A great spiritual harvest of souls is seen in true revival. And in Acts chapter 2, verse number 41, there were added about 3,000 souls the first day Peter preached. In Acts chapter 4, verse 4, the number of the men were about 5,000 at one time. Not two, not three at the altar. The whole city under siege. Go ahead. In Acts chapter 5, verse number 14, multitudes of both men and women were added to the church daily because of the sudden impact of the Holy Spirit in the lives of the apostles that Jesus trained. Go ahead. And in Acts 6, 7, in true revival, the word of God increases and the number of disciples, they are multiplied. See, in order for disciples to multiply, the word got to increase. Go ahead. Number 9, spiritual ministries. Spiritual ministries are birthed during revival. See, we have too many preachers go out. They are not birthed. See, until you are faithful in another man's ministry, God cannot trust you with your own. See, sons are birthed. Sons are birthed. You don't just show up. God birthed sonship in you. Every real son wants a real father. Every real father wants to train a real son to do what God has impacted him to do. See, when you are a real son, you don't have to worry about how it's going to come out. When you follow a spiritual father closely and accurately and properly, it's only a prophecy of how you are going to come out. Go ahead. Spiritual ministries are birthed during revival. They are birthed by reason of spiritual continuance. Consistent followers receive spiritual quickening and promotion. They enter a new dimension of power and honor with God and with man. These ministries are provided with God's wisdom to establish God's, notice that, kingdom on and in the earth. The kingdom of God is designed to function in the earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. That's what Jesus came to train us. Jesus say, I'm the true bread that came down from heaven to show you how this go. I'm not training you to go to heaven. I'm training you to occupy till I come. Every enemy must be subdued before he returns. Every enemy must be subdued. The last enemy that must be destroyed is death itself. Jesus is the head of the church. We are his body. The feet are on the body. You conquer the enemy by placing your feet on his neck. The church will conquer death. That's what this is all about. Read. These ministries are basically apostolic in nature. They consolidate the corporate experience of the church by establishing church structure and providing wisdom for the proper functioning of the church. Only apostolic wisdom and prophetic insights can lay the proper foundation to establish and to develop the church in the midst of revival. You must understand, that's why the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. That's the foundation. So we don't have proper apostolic government. No wonder we're not having spiritual impact. No wonder we're not seeing what God wants, because we must connect properly to the apostle who sat in the church first, and to the prophet who sat in the church secondarily, and to the teacher. Third, we got to have these gifts in the order and in the rank in which God set them. Go ahead. Number 10, spiritual strategy. We need to know divine strategies that God will use in our generation. God knows the weakest link in the satanic kingdom that's over our cities. Immense power concentrated in one small spot can create breakthroughs which we previously thought as impossible. What is God giving to the church in this city? The type of strategy will depend upon the type of community God wants to reach. The only way to shut the gates of hell is to open the gates of heaven. God awakens the church through revival to his divine resources. And I gotta say this. The church is not supposed to be afraid of hell, nor the devil. I've heard these prayers, Lord, we're waiting on you. No, there's no more waiting. We got to quit being on defense and go to offense. See, Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hell can't stop us. Hell can't stop you. Get rid of that theology. You have the answer. You are the key to unlock men and women who are bound in satanic oppression and depression. It's time to take the key and set the captives free. Go ahead. The church that is asleep is often out of touch with the world of realities. It is often deceived about its own spiritual state, and it lacks the cutting edge to strike at the weakest link of the satanic kingdom. Now watch this. God is using Apostle Thompson, iron, to sharpen us as iron by reason of his use of the word, by reason of his experience, by reason of what you see happening in his life. God called him to be an apostle. Why? To sharpen, to shape, and to mold us to have the same apostolic impact in this earth realm. Go ahead. The primary effect of the revival is the reviving and the revitalizing of the saints. It is the gathering of spiritual momentum to affect and impact the life of a sinner. The quickening of the saints is the root and the conversion of the sinners is the fruits. Well, prepare for your exam, and we'll see you next time.